If you ask me, dental implants still very, very good solution. I will say that mostly the best solution if you don't want to touch or prepare the neighbor teeth. But there are cases where when the patient doesn't have enough bone, for example, even though they have money.
Welcome to the Phil Klein Dental Podcast. While traditional fixed bridges and implants have long been the gold standard for replacing missing teeth, they're not always feasible, whether due to insufficient bone, medical contraindications, financial constraints, or patient preferences. Single tooth implants aren't the solution for every case. That's where fiber reinforced bridges come in. These innovative restorations provide a minimally invasive, cost-effective, and highly aesthetic alternative for replacing missing teeth. Unlike conventional metal or zirconia frameworks, fiber-reinforced bridges offer a more flexible, shock-absorbing structure that mimics the natural properties of dentition. And what's great about them is that they can be fabricated chairside, reducing treatment time while maintaining durability and strength. Beyond single-tooth replacement, fiber-reinforced bridges have a broad range of clinical applications, from interim prostheses to long-term solutions in select cases. With proper case selection and technique, they allow us to provide conservative, patient-friendly solutions without compromising function or aesthetics. So why should you consider integrating fiber-reinforced bridges into your practice? What are the clinical advantages, limitations, and best practices for success? To help us answer these questions is our guest, Dr. Marvin Chacon. Based on his preference, we'll be addressing him, Dr. Marvin. He practices in Costa Rica with over 15 years of experience in conservative, cosmetic, and reconstructive dentistry. Dr. Marvin obtained his master's in aesthetic dentistry from King's College, London in 2022. As a clinical trainer and speaker, he focuses on modern dental materials and innovative techniques under the minimum intervention approach. Dr. Marvin, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, doctor, how are you?
We're going to be calling the doctor Dr. Marvin. He's in Costa Rica now, which is very cool. And interesting enough, the time zone is exactly the same. I asked him what time it was before we started the show, and he said 2:30 p.m. And I
said,
"That's
continent."
Same, yeah, exactly. So if I flew to visit him, I wouldn't have to adjust my watch, which is awesome.
Awesome.
Okay, so I got to tell the audience that I had the pleasure and opportunity to listen to your webinar on Viva Learning, and it was really fascinating. You did some,
thank you.
Yeah, you did some miraculous stuff with some of these patients, and then your follow up. Some of the follow up was 8 years, and you know, it seems to me that unless someone watches this webinar, they would think that the techniques that you're using would not last that long. And
sure.
It's just amazing that you have gone down that route to utilize these types of solutions. Because there's a lot of applications, clinical applications, financial restrictions for patients, and you're just doing some amazing stuff, even things like agenesis or hypodontia, which you talked about.
Exactly.
Yeah, so anyway, for the audience, if you want to see this, which I really recommend, it's called Fiber-Reinforced Direct Bridges. Fiber-Reinforced Direct Bridges, New Techniques for Success.
Exactly.
It's on vivalearning.com, and just look up last name is Chacon, Chacon. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay,
perfect.
Good. Okay, good. So I've done enough talking here. You're the superstar here because you're the one that's fabricating these fiber-reinforced bridges. Let's start the conversation by you telling us what is a fiber-reinforced bridge and why should dentists consider offering this service to their patients?
Sure, doctor. Well, fiber-reinforced bridges are fixed prostheses composed of two parts. The first one is the framework made from the fiber chosen by the dentist. And the second part is the veneering material, which is used to fabricate the pontic. The choice of veneering material depends on how long the dentist wants the bridge to remain in the patient's mouth. If they're looking, for example, for a long-term provisional solution, let's say 1.5 years, they can use a last generation bicycle. If they want a definitive restoration, they should use resin composite.
Okay, so when your accent, I'm just going to say bisacryl is what is bicycle is bisacryl.
Bisacryl, exactly.
Yes, okay.
Bisacryl.
Mm-hmm.
So regarding the reasons, let me share a few with you. The materials used to fabricate these bridges have a more favorable mechanic behavior due to their flexibility. Their behavior is more biomimetic, let's say, compared to a rigid conventional prosthesis, which is particularly important in cases where the abutment teeth lack of ideal biological support, for example, in post-perio patients. These bridges have a lower biological cost than conventional bridges, or the retention relies on adhesion. The necessary preparations are highly conservative, highly aesthetic as well, because modern dental materials such as composite resins allow dentists to layer different shades and effects. All the materials used in their fabrication are biocompatible. This is very, very important. There is no metal involved. And one of the most significant advantages, doctor, in my opinion, is their retrievability. What does this mean? These bridges can be repaired without having to replace the entire prosthesis. Actually, you mentioned that during my Viva Learning webinar, I showcased a fascinating case with 8-year follow-up. It involves bridges I made for a patient with agenesis of the upper lateral incisors. The photographs illustrated how, over time, I was able to modify the bridges and even change their shade. This, Dr. Klein, is precisely what modern dentistry aims for: treatments that can be evolved with the patient.
How did you get into getting excited about doing this? Because a lot of dentists, when they get out of dental school, they can't wait to do implants, maybe just do crown and bridge where they prepare the abutments and do these beautiful zirconia bridges. So tell us what ignited your excitement about fiber reinforced bridges. You've got to a point now where they're very beautiful and they last quite a long time.
Well, it started when I just finished my dental school. That was 17 years ago. And suddenly I was in a need of a treatment to replace missing teeth. What I had in 17 years ago is the same treatments that we have today: implants, removable prosthesis, and the normal bridges that we'll know. So I started to investigate a little bit about different dental materials and found these reinforced fibers. And yeah, it has been a long trip to be in this point, but very exciting.
Did you expect the lifespan of these chairside bridges that you actually fabricate right there in the office to last as long as they are lasting? Or were you looking to have a solution for a patient as an interim or something to carry them over until either finances allowed something more, quote unquote, permanent? Some dentists say nothing's permanent, nothing's
Sure.
definitive. Like you said, it's evolving. So when I
Yeah.
say definitive or permanent, it's semantics, because your bridges might very well, in their lifespan and function, last longer than some bridges that are put in,
Correctly,
right?
correctly.
With
Sure.
the old porcelain fused to gold or whatever bridges, zirconia bridges. I mean,
Yeah.
so tell us, were you surprised at how long these lasted undergoing normal forces of mastication and everything else? Because, I mean, these patients are chewing on this stuff.
I always shoot for a permanent or definitive solution, as you said. Of course, dental treatment are costly, not as in the USA, but I always look for dental treatment that then can provide teeth for mostly every person. No, doesn't matter if the person have money or have a little bit of money. So this particular treatments are very affordable.
So, Dr. Marvin, we talked offline about this. There wasn't a whole lot of information about fiber reinforced bridges. So, you kind of took it upon yourself to experiment in some ways. Tell us about that.
At the beginning, what I discovered, these materials, the fibers, because I doesn't have any clinical protocol, I started to play, let's say, with these materials. For example, I remember one of my first cases was my security card of the place I used to live, and I did it for free.
Security guard.
Security guard, exactly. And the I met him, if I don't remember wrong, like four bridges in the upper arch, and it lasts almost 5 years with the wrong, using the wrong fiber, by the way. But since the very first beginning, I knew that the materials will work. I just need to perfect the technique, actually.
Yeah, and the technique that you perfected is clearly shown in that webinar, the one that I mentioned earlier that's on vivalearning.com. You show several different techniques and you show them for different clinical applications. So, with your experience, Dr. Marvin, what kind of case should a dentist take on in the beginning when they're first experimenting, first starting to use a fiber reinforced bridge?
That's a very, very good question. The best starting point will be an anterior case, definitely. As you may know, the anterior bridges, anterior prostheses tend to last longer than posterior bridges. So that will be a very good starting point, an anterior case.
So, if a patient comes in with a vertical root fracture, clearly unsavable lateral incisor, upper lateral incisor, a single tooth implant is not feasible for whatever reason. You're suggesting that would be a good start to do a fiber reinforced bridge to replace that upper lateral incisor.
That would be a very good case. For example, 2 weeks ago, I did a case from was an adult woman that had an accident, and one of her upper centrals with root canal just completely broke, a catastrophic fracture, what we called. And she didn't have the money for a dental implant at the moment. And she was, if I don't remember wrong, 32 years old. So if you think about making a removal prosthesis for a 30 something years old person, it's terrible. So I did an immediate bridge after bone grafting. And this will sound crazy, doctor, but I doesn't have any anterior bridge failure in my life, just posterior failures. It is a very good starting point for you, mostly because you have to learn how to manipulate the fibers, are kind of tricky.
This is an engineering creation.
Yeah.
It's an engineering feat. What you
You're
do,
right.
you're reinforcing the composite by a huge factor, a huge multiple. And that's what struck me when I watched the webinar, Dr. Marvin, is that the technique in manipulating the fibers is very important, which of course is difficult to get from a podcast episode, but the webinar makes it much clearer and easier to understand. And at the end of this podcast, we'll get some information from you about how people can get in touch with you if they have more questions. So when it comes to the fibers that we're talking about, what is the material that you use to reinforce the composite bridge?
The fibers are Grantec from Voco, are unidirectional glass fibers. Those fibers are the only one that the literature mention are capable to sustain over time for definitive bridges. These fibers in the anterior bridges needs to have a little bit of curvature as well. This, as I mentioned, this part is kind of tricky, the manipulation part. So I design a dental instrument that was developed during those 15 years in making these bridges.
And that instrument you're talking about, Dr. Marvin, I know you're getting some prototypes, and that helps curve the Grantec glass fiber material.
Yeah, the thing is, each strand of fibers comes with almost 4,500 fibers. And these fibers will behave very good if they work together. So you as a dentist, when you manipulate them, you have to keep it as a group. You can't spread it because they will start to absorb the forces individually, and that's how failures appear. A key point is try to keep it in a group.
You have the longitudinal fibers that go across in the direction of the arch. It follows the arch, but then you have a short one that goes 90 degrees to it. Am I correct?
Yeah, this is the oblique wall, the oblique one. And this fibers literature mentioned or showed that helps to absorb lateral forces and avoid the fracture of the veneering materials in posterior bridges.
How long does it take you to make one of these bridges? And I know it's evolving because you're very much into playing with the materials. You stain it, and it looks amazing. It looks like a lab fabricated bridge when you're done with it. It's almost hard to believe.
You're going to be impressed, but the thing that consumes the most time is to remove the old restorations.
So after you remove the old restorations from the abutments, or there's no restoration there, how long does it typically take you to do the bridge?
It will take less than 30 minutes to fabricate one posterior bridge. Anterior bridges tend to take a little bit more time because you have to layer different shades of, right? But posteriors are more straightforward, just a little bit of tints in the fissures, a little bit of tints on this cervical area. Yeah. I don't polish it either. I don't polish it. I use a glaze. So yeah, almost 30 something minutes.
So for the anterior ones, you showed a case. The patient, I think, may have been 12 years old when she came in. She's now 20 years old,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
going to architecture school. And it's amazing how this looks. You have a one-year follow-up, then you go to two, and then you go to three. And you put this together with a fiber strip and some composite, right? I mean, that's the way this thing is built. And she's been chewing on, she was missing, what, two laterals?
A agenesia of the two laterals incisors.
Right,
yeah.
So she just never got those teeth, agenesis,
no.
on those teeth.
Agenesis.
Yeah, so, or a hypodontia, we should be probably call
hypodontia
it.
As well.
Yeah, so those two laterals, those upper laterals were missing. And 8 years later, from 12 to 20 years old, she's been living every day like a teenager and chewing on everything. And,
exactly.
And they look beautiful. And you even make them so that they could keep oral hygiene really well. Tell us about that, making sure that they could, because people are going to say, well, how do you floss? How do you clean? You have techniques for making it so that the patient could take care of this and prevent periodontal disease.
In case of anterior bridges, it's all about how to manipulate the soft tissues by making the oval pontic. I kindly want to invite all the doctors who are listening to see the Viva Learning webinar, so you can see how I manage to fabricate the oval pontic. But by applying pressure to the soft tissues, you can shape it. And the anterior bridges, when you have the oval pontic shaped, it's actually very easy for the patient to floss, because it will naturally create a space between the pontic and the gum, right? In case of posterior bridges, it's a little bit more tricky because you actually don't want space between the ridge surface of the pontic. That is the surface that is in intimate contact with the mucosa. You don't want space between the ridge surface and the mucosa. You just want a little bit of space between the interproximal area of the abutment and the pontic. And this space, it's made by the invagination of the rubber dam. And once you remove the rubber dam, you will obtain a semicircular shape along the interproximal area of the abutment teeth. That is where the patients can floss. But on the other hand, I actually recommend my patients to use water flosser.
Yes.
more than
What about interproximal brushes? A brush would go through.
You mean teepees?
Yeah.
You mean teepees? Yeah, they can work. Most on the posterior area, I have found that in the anterior areas, sometimes patients used teepees that are too thick, And they tend to stimulate the gingiva, and the gingiva go up a little bit to create space. So I will prefer in the anterior area just Waterpik or, well, no, water flosser or the regular floss.
So when a dentist gets into this and they start fabricating a fiber reinforced bridge, typically what should they expect as a lifespan?
Average lifespan for a posterior bridge will be between 4 to 5 years, although there are documented cases of bridges lasting more than 22 years. And in case of anterior bridges, we're looking at an average lifespan between 7 to 8 years.
Wow. And then when you have a failure, what does the failure look like? And
Awesome. That's a
then
great
how do you
question.
deal with the failure?
One of the most frequent failures will be debonding of the wing or fracture of the wings. And that is because the dentist don't respect the minimal depth of the preparation. That will be 2.5 millimeters. There is 1 millimeter for the fibers and 1.5 millimeters for the veneer material.
And when you say veneer material, Dr. Marvin, you're talking about the material that you're flowing over the Grantek glass fibers that's embedded in the tooth on each side, and also that's spanning across the two abutments. That veneer of composite is the veneer material.
On the abutment areas, always resin composite. Always resin composite. The only materials you can change is the one in the pontic, for the pontic, bisacryl or resin
Okay,
composite.
so Bisacryl as the pontic or composite resin, but what you
Yeah.
flow into the abutment teeth to hold that fiber in place and to flow over the fiber is composite resin.
Yeah.
And your favorite on that? Do you have a favorite product that you like to use?
Definitely, Grandioso Heavy Flow. It's what I called the invincible marriage. I can't think in fiber reinforced bridges without thinking in Grantek, and I can't think in Grantek without thinking in Grandioso Heavy Flow. You just apply a little bit of Grandioso Heavy Flow on the preparations. Just put your positioning your fibers like your, and on top of this, just ball field composite.
Assuming you have two abutments, two virgin abutments, and you are ready to prep those two to accommodate the Grantek, what's the preparation design look like on those teeth?
In my investigation work, I analyzed six different teeth preparation, and from those six preparations, the one that shows the best numbers were one called box shape design, and it's almost a regular class two, but it has an additional preparation that it's called isthmus in the proximal areas, and that isthmus just bring that extra reinforcement for the connector area. There is a very critical area for this. For these bridges, the connector area. It's my personal perspective. If you're looking for a long-term provisional, just a regular class two preparation will behave very good. But in addition to this, one additional complication will be secondary decay. So that's why you have to choose your patient wisely. A patient who likes to clean, right? But
Where do you see the areas of the secondary decay?
under the connector. Yeah, because patients don't like to floss.
Okay, so it's right in the interproximal area in that box.
Exactly.
And as far as adhesion,
Sure, yeah, just your regular bonding protocol, total etch or selective etching. And after that, rinse, apply your, of course, Futura Bond U is the best bonding agent in the world. And after that, you're ready to go.
tell us about how you manage the occlusion over time as you evaluate these fiber reinforced bridges.
A very tricky part in mostly in the posterior areas is to manage occlusion. Okay. And that is not only for these treatments, but for every dental treatment. And I have noticed that if you're not carefully calibrate the occlusion, you will find that some of the cuspids showed some chippings. You as a dentist have to choose if you want to repair it by adding a little bit more composite or just polishing, because the body is telling you that they don't want more material in that area. And you just polish a little bit, and that's it.
I think many dentists would agree, Dr. Marvin, that the ideal treatment plan for a single missing tooth where they don't have to touch the adjacent teeth would be a single tooth implant. But if that's not feasible for whatever reason, as I mentioned earlier, you would prefer to go with a fiber reinforced bridge from the standpoint of minimally invasive dentistry.
I, of course, won't prepare an abutment for full crown and make this bridge. It doesn't make sense. I will prefer to maintain the residual tooth structure or remnant tooth structure and make my bridge without removing the remnant tooth structure. But I will say that it will depend on the case.
Yes, no doubt. Every case we have to treat individually. And you actually had an interesting case about a woman who wanted to have a single tooth implant, but you had to go with a fiber reinforced bridge. Tell us about that.
Very nice case, 60 something years old woman that had a first upper molar missing for more than 20 years. And they came to my office. She came to my office asking for an implant, but she was taken by bisphosphonates. Even though she has all the money in the world, as you said, well, you can't touch a patient surgically if
She
they
had
are taken by.
osteoporosis.
She was taking bisphosphonate
Right.
because osteoporosis. So in that particular case, I provide her with a long-term provisional until her doctor, I'm sorry, say that she was okay to place an implant. But if you ask me, dental implants still a very, very good solution. I will say that mostly the best solution if you don't want to touch or prepare the neighbor teeth. But there are cases when the patient doesn't have enough bone, for example, even though they have money.
And another consideration, Dr. Marvin, which we talked about offline, regarding your decision to use a fiber reinforced bridge rather than putting an implant in, has to do with age. Now, you don't feel particularly comfortable putting an implant in a younger person, a young adult. And this is a very good alternative treatment plan.
Well, from my perspective, as a personal point of view, I don't want to put an implant on a 20-something years old patient in the anterior area. I want to wait a little bit more. The gums evolve along the years and things could happen aesthetically. I would prefer to place an implant once she's actually an adult. So, but if the patient is an adult, for example, if you come to my office, probably I will analyze an implant for a first option, and if it doesn't work for you, or I don't think you can't have it for any reason, I will provide with a provisional or let's say a definitive solution, and for sure this solution will have to be the one that has the least biological cost possible.
What do you charge for typically in American dollars? What would that be equivalent to in Costa Rica for your work to do a let's talk about replacing number 19,
I don't know what is 19.
a lower molar.
A lower molar,
Yeah, lower first molar.
Okay.
How do you guys
I
number
charge
the teeth over there?
starting from one. Finishing and the last is 32,
Yeah. That's what we do. Coming across from right maxilla all the way across to the left is
oh
one.
yeah, no, that's what you guys do.
Oh,
We
I asked you
divide
what
it
you guys
into
do.
four quadrants, and in each quadrant we have from one to eight.
Okay, all right. Okay, I wasn't asking what we do. I know what we do over here. I'm asking what these dentists in Costa Rica do. Okay.
So what I charge is the same as I charge for a zirconia crown in the anterior and the posterior area.
So typically, what would a fiber reinforced bridge be to replace a, let's say, a first molar, a lower right first molar? What would you charge for that?
Almost $900.
Almost $900. And it takes you 30 minutes.
It takes me 30 something minutes, just one appointment.
And with no lab costs.
No lab fees. And you almost have all the materials you need to make it in your office, right? You just need to be sure to choose the correct fibers. And of course, you will have resin composites.
Yeah. Now, and you also have more flexibility on the price for those patients that are younger, like that 12-year-old. If the family doesn't have that much money, you have more flexibility because your overhead is lower. So it's up to you to do that as a favor to the patient if you want to help them out. But
of course,
but you have that flexibility without having that lab fee.
Yeah, and one of the most important points in this aspect will be that you're not preparing necessary, you're not removing necessary tooth structure that will let those abutments to have shorter lifespan.
Mm-hmm. No, it's an amazing service. But the key thing is, and again, it goes back to the webinar, and even after the webinar, hopefully somebody could reach out to you, Dr. Marvin, in Costa Rica, and maybe you can direct them. In fact, my last question as we wrap up this podcast is, what recommendations would you give to dentists who want to try applying this treatment to their patients? Because it's more than just taking the fiber and laying it into like you show in the webinar. There's more to this because success rate is too high.
Yeah. Okay. That let me, first and foremost, the doctor needs to enjoy playing with dental materials. I like the word playing with dental materials. As dentists, the dentist should have fun while working. If they don't, something is wrong. I think they should educate themselves. Nowadays, there is no reason to perform treatments based on trial and error. The best thing they can do is learn from other dentists who have already made many mistakes like me. I don't hold back when it comes to sharing information. As you know, I love it. On my website and social media, I share in-depth techniques that will ensure these bridges meet clinical requirements successful. And if they are truly interested in the topic, it will be fantastic if they have the opportunity to take my two-day course, which is a masterclass where I teach how to create these bridges from A to Z.
And where is that, in person or online?
It's in person.
So they need to take a vacation in Costa Rica, which is beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You can come and surf. We can surf together if you like.
Wow. Yeah. And actually, I lived in California for 16 years and right off the ocean, but I didn't surf. Yeah, I was a tennis player. So,
cold water, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
we have warm water here. Yeah,
so
I can understand.
It's more like Hawaii where you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, great stuff, Dr. Marvin. And
thank you very much, doctor.
Yeah. If somebody wants to look you up, what is your website address?
Dr. Marvin Chacon. Chacon is Chacon. DrMarvinChacon.com.
Speaking to the audience, feel free to take a look at that webinar. Get yourself familiar with the whole concept. He talks about the hugging Mylar band technique. He's got a whole lot of different things he does there, and it's really quite extensive what he covers in that 50-minute webinar. And then if you're interested in more information, again, you heard his website. Thank you very much for joining us,
Thank you, Dr. Marvin.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Yeah, very enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. See you. Bye-bye.